she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Tony.
Morning.
And me, Sybil. Hello, hello. Welcome. We're here every Saturday morning, taking your phone calls at 877-881-1053, reading your Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733, and Autoflex is open for your business today. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, if you're out of the area. And also, we have Save Money Mondays coming up, which means you can go to autoflex.com, click on our pre-owned cars, and look at the specials, because every Monday, we take the cars that we are going to send to auction on Tuesday. We offer them for one last day to the public at a greatly reduced price. So if you're looking for a pre-owned car, Save Money Mondays at autoflex.com.
Who doesn't want to save money? All that and more, autoflex.com. You can also follow along with all the stories we're talking about on this very show. And if you're driving a Nissan or an Infiniti SUV, pay attention to this story.
You know, we're going to cover these early in the show because several of these are really sort of, they're important. Nissan's recalling 152,000 SUVs to repair the brakes. Now, if your brakes are not working well, that can be a serious, serious problem when you need to stop. And they say that on Nissan Pathfinders from 13 and 14, as well as 2013 Infiniti JX35s and the 2014 QX60s, during light braking on rough roads, the anti-lock brake software could cause longer than expected stopping distances. That means that you are buried in the brake and you're still moving forward.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's what I said. So, if you would like to get yours repaired, 800-647-7261, 800-647-7261, or contact your local Nissan dealer. They will be bringing these cars in and reprogramming the software to correct the anti-lock brake problem.
So if you have that car, even if you haven't had any brake problems, I would still call or take it in and just make sure.
Yeah, give them your VIN number. They'll be able to tell you whether your car is one of the affected vehicles, and they'll get it right in and get it fixed.
Mm-hmm. Also, some recalls going on for Hyundai.
Yes, 27,000 Genesis cars for the same thing, braking problems. They previously initiated a service campaign in March to replace the brake fluid in these vehicles. 60% of the affected production range has already been completed, but there's still a lot of Genesis out there that the brake fluid is becoming corrosive to the car. So if you'll take your car to your Hyundai dealer, they will inspect the brake system and change the brake fluid if, in fact, you are one of the affected cars.
Wouldn't that be a lot of Genesis out there?
It could be. It could be.
Mm-hmm. Hyundai Genesis. I think that's what you call it, though. Pluralized.
If it's multiple Hyundai Genesis.
Like Priuses.
Mm-hmm.
Prii.
That's what I mean,
that's just how I refer to them. If I see more than one, it's Prii.
Exactly. Makes sense to me.
All righty.
So everyone remembers the Toyota lawsuit from a few years ago where I think it was a woman driving the car, said the brakes locked up on her and the accelerator got stuck.
Exactly.
And she ended up crashing and now there's a huge lawsuit. I can't believe this thing is still going on. I guess they just recently settled.
Well, there's hundreds of lawsuits going on. And that lawsuit, particularly that lady in California, that lawsuit was decided last week. And the plaintiff or the lady's family lost that lawsuit. The court found that there was no evidence that the Toyota accelerated on its own. There was no defect in the acceleration system. But here's the thing. There are lawsuits all over the country still going on having to do with this, and they're going in front of juries. And the one thing I can tell you is you never know what a jury will decide. And that's what happened in Oklahoma, because there was a defective acceleration lawsuit filed in Oklahoma, and Toyota lost. First time they've lost. There's never been any factual, real testing evidence that any of these cars accelerated on their own, but a jury decided in Oklahoma that Toyota was, in fact, at fault, and there's a $3 million verdict that went along with that. Now, here's what that means for the rest of everyone that has a lawsuit. It means you've got some precedent now. They can go, well, those guys in Oklahoma said that Toyota was at fault. And there is millions and millions of dollars at stake. So far, Toyota has settled a lot of these out of court. They say they've been at about $1.6 billion so far to settle these lawsuits.
Yowza.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. It affects the cost of all their products. Mm-hmm. Because eventually, we will all pay for that.
Trickles all down to us.
It does. It does. So anyway, Toyota lost the suit in Oklahoma. We'll see what happens because there are still hundreds of these lawsuits going on having to do with their electronic throttle control system.
So is this something that just happened with Toyota, or did other manufacturers get the same sort of complaints?
You know, I was with a General Motors dealer in the 80s. That this happened on several of their cars, and it was never publicized, and it was an electronic throttle control, the same thing, and several of the cars are said to have gone and accelerated on their own. There was one here in town where a lady ran off a road through a field into one of those great big ditches. She dove out of the car, which saved her.
Wow.
Anyway, there was nothing was publicized about that, though, and they kept it very quiet, and they handled it very quietly. They changed out a lot of electronic throttle controls and went on down the road.
Right. Isn't this related to the fact that it is basically operated by a computer sensor sending a message about
yes.
how far the brake or the gas pedal is depressed,
right.
rather than mechanically, where it just automatically measures it because...
Yeah.
Here's how far the brake or the gas pedal.
Yeah, it's
depressed.
An electronic throttle control. When you, if you remember, again going back to the 80s, when you started your car, often the car engine would sort of race when it first started, all on its own. Well, that was the electronic control throttle sensor, which is what is supposedly at fault on these cars. It was a control that caused the engine to run a little faster when it first started, warm the engine up, get it going. Then, as soon as you touch the accelerator, everything went away. That's how it was designed to work.
There's going to be no issues at all with these flying cars, I'm sure of it.
None at all. And the other thing, I think, you were talking about it getting publicized. Now there's social media. Everybody's on Facebook. And
exactly.
then you tell the story of what happened to your aunt over the weekend. And everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. How come it's always your aunt?
I don't know. Maybe it was a woman, so I guess it could be your sister.
In the same vein, Ford finally settled up on their Navistar diesel lawsuits that were pending all over the country. They had put the six-cylinder Navistar diesels in their 2003 to 2007 Super Duty pickups and E-Series vans, and those engines were, in fact, not really great engines. So Ford has worked out a settlement for the people that are driving those cars that had expenses during that time, and they're reimbursing them in some ways. So if you had one of those Navistar diesels, you'd want to contact your local Ford dealer and find out if this suit affects or this settlement affects you also.
That was a 6-liter Power Stroke diesel. I think that's a V8, and those have been put in Ford since like 1994.
Yeah, but the ones from 03 to 07 had some serious problems, and everyone in the industry knew it, and Navistar knew it, and Ford knew it.
And Ford and Navistar are kind of in...
Well, they've been they no longer
litigation too with each other. Probably.
Exactly, yeah, because they know Ford no longer uses the Navistar diesel.
So even if you no longer have your Navistar, you can reach out to them and maybe claim some money.
Exactly, because if you had some expenses, Ford has agreed to repay a portion of those expenses.
Between $50 and $825 in reimbursements,
based on what you shelled out.
Yeah, so you might have some money coming your way, y'all.
And finally.
Finally,
the Honda American Honda awesome. Has settled their class action suit over oil burning, and this was a problem that not only American Honda had, but several other manufacturers had. There was an evolution in engines when they were making them variable displacement. In other words, they'd shut down some cylinders, and if it was a 6-cylinder, it would run on 4 cylinders part of the time, and that kind of thing. Well, Honda had a lot of vehicles that had oil fouling problems when those cylinders shut down. In other words, the cylinders would shut down that would foul the spark plugs over those cylinders, and then you would have to go in and have the car maintenance done, replacing spark plugs and that kind of thing. Anyway, Honda has agreed to settle with a lot of people that drove 2008 through 2012 Accords, 2008 through 2013 Odysseys, 2009 through 2013 Pilots, and 2010 and 11 Cross Tours, and finally 2012 Cross Tours equipped with a 6-cylinder engine that have variable cylinder management. By golly.
And I'm sorry, David, did you mention that this was almost 1.6 million?
It's a lot of cars. Yeah. It's almost everything they put out on the street.
I'm annoyed by this because there are, you know, the complaints allege that Honda said it was normal. Now, I'm very frustrated with Honda. That Honda said it was normal for a powertrain to burn a quart of oil every 1,000 miles.
Which is not, unless you're driving a 54-wheelless Jeep. It's not normal. And Honda sort of tried to sidestep this for a long time, but they finally settled up and they're taking care of it. It's not the first time this has happened. I know that Toyota had some engines that were doing this in the early 2000s, and it goes all the way back to the Mazda RX-8, which had the same type of problem, oil fouling the plugs. And Mazda, when they found out about it, they just stepped right up and handled it. Because it was a pretty obvious thing.
I think that's man up, you know. If you have a problem, don't hide it. I mean, how many people have they lost their consumer loyalty and trust?
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
That annoys me so much because I was a big fan of Honda, and I'm now looking at them like with the squinty eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, side eye.
Yeah, we'll cut my eyes
the old side eye.
I'm like, I don't know if I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, if you're driving one of those affected vehicles, contact your local Honda dealer. Talk to them about it. They'll tell you if, in fact, there is something there for you.
Text in and tell us if you had any of that experience. Here's the interesting thing. I have had zero feedback from our customers, about this. And generally, I hear from people when they're having problems and they don't understand what's going on. Eventually, they will call me and say, I need some help. What do you suggest? And so on and so forth. I never heard about any of this.
It happens, though. I mean, the manufacturers have problems. It's over a broad area. The longer you go back in time, the less active they were in taking care of those problems and the more willing they were to disavow them. Now, with everybody with social media, people are very sensitive to the kind of problems and the kind of loyalty issues that can come from having an organic problem like this with your vehicle.
Right. I understand things happen, but just go ahead and own up.
Yeah, you do have to end up
fix
doing
it,
that.
You know?
Yep. All right, we got to take a quick break. We shall return. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Tony, and me, Sybil. Our phone number, 877-881-1053. Our Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And you can call Autoflex. They're open today. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. Autoflex.com, as always. You can also go to Autoflex.com and see all our great pre-owned cars there. If you're wondering what your trade-in is worth, Autoflex.com. Get a free Black Book appraisal on your car right there online from the comfort of your easy chair or at home or wherever you are, hopefully not driving. And you can get a Black Book appraisal on your car. You can set up test drives with Autoflex. Any number of cars you want to drive, any types of cars you want to drive, tell us and we'll be glad to set up those test drives. We had 7 of those test drive requests yesterday morning when I came to work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. People really take advantage of that. It's so simple. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's better than driving from place to place to place because whenever you do that, you have to meet a lot of people you never really wanted to meet. You just wanted to drive the car.
Right.
So you can go on there and ask for a test drive set up and we'll set up the car side by side, drive them all in one place, and not get beat up in the interim.
Mm-hmm. And when it's chilly or drizzling, kind of like the weather is today, turn the heater on, maybe the seat warmers, have those windshield wipers kicked on and ready to go, and it'll be all you have to do is get in there and press go.
But I think even that's wonderful when the weather's yucky. Mm-hmm. But being able to compare them side by side and look at the vehicle.
Yes. Without having
one to the other.
To remember.
Yeah.
What you tried last weekend.
You don't even have to wait for 20 minutes, like from one dealership to the next. You can just jump in one and into the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people like that because you'll get an idea of this vehicle doesn't have as much space as this one. And then when you put them side by side, you really do see, oh, I do have the same amount of cargo space. Or no, this one has more legroom. So,
well, and talk about some of the things that people bring with them to test drive those multiple cars. Yeah.
Aww.
They've brought their dogs. They brought all the car seats.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that they will all fit inside.
Or their dog kennels.
dog kennels.
We've had them bring their dog kennels.
Yes, because we've had dog trainers, dog showers.
Right.
Dog showers? Anyway.
Yeah.
They bring the kennels. They bring whatever they need to make sure will fit in that car. Their families.
Mm-hmm.
What really cracks me up is when they come and the kids know everything about the vehicle already.
Right.
You know, especially the DVD players and, you know,
all the
technology.
Stuff.
Yes. They really get into it. Now, I'm amazed at these young kids and how much they know about the electronics and technology in cars.
It's the internet.
Yes, it is.
You awesome. Can Google anything and look at pictures and videos of everything.
Yes.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. I just got a 2013 Pathfinder, and it knocks while idling. Went to dealer and said it was normal. What can I do? You know, going online is probably one of the better things to do because you can go into forums that people have posted that drive 2013 Pathfinders. Now, there is some stuff online that I see that car does have some noise when first starting off that's most people consider to be a little excessive, nothing terrible, but they do mention it in several online blogs. So my suggestion, go online, type in 2013 Pathfinder engine knock, and you'll find out what everyone else says about it. By the way, Nissan in those blogs does say that is a normal operating.
Yeah, well, so did Honda.
It's the way it's supposed to sound.
So did
gotcha.
Honda.
That's true.
Over using a quart of oil every 1,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So just beware. You know, make sure you check your mileage and track everything.
Right.
You know, protect yourself. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, take pictures of the car. If you ever borrow a car or anything like that, whatever you do, protect yourself.
Yeah, that's smart. That way, if there's any dings or mm-hmm. something, you could take it back and go, look, I took this before.
Exactly.
Or maybe even show
do
it before
video.
You leave.
Yep, yeah, do a little video and that's, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Rent cars, whatever.
Okay.
I digress.
California and seven other states have signed a new pact to spur EV sales. And so California, Connecticut, Maryland, Massachusetts, New York, Rhode Island, Oregon, and Vermont have all signed pacts to create sort of a false economy. They're going to require that 15% of all the cars on the road in those states is a zero-emission vehicle, which would mean it's either a plug-in or it's maybe a hydrogen fuel cell car, but it has no emissions. It's an interesting story in that the demand is not there for those cars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what it's going to cause is, number one, the states will either have to supplement the cost of the car so that people will actually buy them because electric vehicles are more expensive than gasoline vehicles, or the manufacturers will have to supplement the cost and giving additional discounts so that more people will buy those cars because, again, the market's just not there for 15% of everyone in those states wanting to drive an electric car.
Or those states will make all of their city and state vehicles.
Well, and they're
going to
do that. They're going to buy a lot of electric cars, they said.
That's what they're
going
to
do. And that'll help reach that goal. And it's, you know, from an emission standpoint, it's an interesting argument because they don't emit any carbon emissions. But to build an electric car.
There you go.
You put out about twice as much carbon as you would to build an internal combustion car because the batteries require. The manufacturing of the batteries produces a lot of pollution.
People don't.
And they
really
also run on electricity, which is generally put out by coal,
mm-hmm.
which produces a lot of carbon emissions. So it's a really interesting. It's more of a political thing, almost.
Yeah. Well, we're ignoring the stuff that's not related to just this car driving down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We're ignoring how the car came into existence.
Well, people don't think on multiple levels. They just look at the result and the outcome. They don't look at everything that goes into it, usually.
Right.
I know.
Well, you know, there was
that's
an interesting,
a great way to be.
There was an interesting article in the Detroit News this last week on electric cars, and it was titled Electric Cars Running on Empty. And it does, you know, it talks about the fact that without the supplements, without the government funding, electric cars wouldn't be selling.
No.
Because they are way too expensive for what you get, and they're not terribly practical if you've got kids, especially. You know, kids don't have really regular schedules, and sometimes you have to pick them up after school later or earlier. And electric cars really do require somebody to have a really regular schedule and have a very predictable driving mode because you got range anxiety. People
mm-hmm.
still have range anxiety, and if your car's not charged, it takes a long time to charge one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like filling up. I mean, you got to plug it in and leave it plugged in. So there's a limited market for the cars. And the Detroit News article was that basically they're running on empty. They're running on empty promises from the government, and that everyone should look for alternatives. rather than electric vehicles to fuel vehicles, which is a really good argument, actually.
I'm surprised we don't see more CNG. Didn't we say that was cheaper than actual fuel?
It is. It's about half the price of gasoline, and you also it a lot less emissions than gasoline. The fuel tanks cost a little more to build. You know, we talked about the Chevrolet Impala in 2015 will have two fuel tanks if you order it that way, and can run on CNG, and that would be a great alternative. Ethanol made from non-food product is a great alternative.
Sugar cane, not corn.
Yeah, if you look at Brazil, Brazil runs half their cars on ethanol, and it's made from sugarcane. So it doesn't drive the price of everything up. We make our ethanol from corn, which drives the price of our food. Other food up. But it works, and they use a lot less percentage-wise petroleum than we do because they use sugarcane.
I think there's a downside to almost everything because really CNG isn't that related to fracking.
Well,
and people
I don't know that that's
that.
People have issues with everything,
right?
You know, so it's interesting. There's a lady named Ann Corin that has written. Well, she wrote one book which I thought was great called "Turning Oil to Salt," and Corin's view is that you use every alternative possible to oil to run your cars, and you look at investing in biofuels. You look at investing in everything other than oil, and develop that as quickly as possible because. It's not really possible to be energy independent because the whole world is dependent on each other. So the economies are all tied in. And her theory or her she postulates that salt at one time was the most valuable element on Earth because at one time salt was the only way to preserve food. And so wars were fought over salt. People died over salt. But once we learned how to can food and preserve food without salt, salt became almost worthless. And she wants to turn oil to salt. Find other things that we can power our vehicles with so that we're not dependent on oil, which means that we would not be dependent on other economies or people could not hold oil over our head, much as has happened when we had the gas embargoes.
OPEC. Although we produce enough oil on our own, what you were telling me earlier is that OPEC still controls everything. So if gas gets cheap enough here, they'll flow their production overseas.
Yeah, that's how they control the price.
Which then drives the price up. It's very frustrating.
For those of us who remember 1973 and the long gas lines, that was a result of us backing Israel in the Israeli-Egyptian war. The OPEC states were mad at us because we did that, and they stopped selling us oil, which drove the price of oil up, caused big lines at the gas stations, actually doubled the price of gasoline. Gasoline went from 25, 30 cents a gallon to 55, 60 cents a gallon.
Oh, the good old days.
Exactly. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David, Tammy, Tony, and me, Sybil. 877-881-1053 is the phone number. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text is 43733. And as always, you can call Autoflex. They are open today. They're waiting for your phone call. What's the number, David?
Operators are standing by. 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, or autoflex.com if you want to do everything online, and you can.
And you can even access it from your smartphone or your tablet, autoflex.com.
You can. And we have a mobile site, which means it's really easy to do.
Very easy to navigate.
You can read it on your phone and all that neat stuff.
Indeed. So let's talk a little about Fiskars. Could I get one of those, a Fisker Karma, if I wanted to?
Well, Fisker Karma actually went out of business. They were an electric car company that went out of business. But Bob Lutz and Gilbert Villarreal, who is an investments guy, have gone together to form VL Automotive, and they are buying 25 Fisker Karmas. And they are taking the electric powertrain out, and they are putting Corvette engines in these cars.
Did he buy them at a fire sale?
He bought 25. You know, it's really now. Here's sort of a fun thing. I think the Karma Fisker, in my opinion, the Fisker Karma is one of the best looking cars ever built.
They are cool looking.
It's just a great looking car, and it's a shame they didn't make it as a company. But this is a great idea because Lutz looked at that car. Lutz said it was the prettiest car he'd ever seen.
It's beautiful.
And since they're not building him anymore, why not put them into service with a Corvette engine? They're going to turn them into a a car that's going to cost about $200,000. So it's not your everyman's car. They're taking 998 pounds out. They're going to sell two versions. One will be 450 horsepower. The other will be 638 horsepower. So these things will absolutely run like a scalded cat, and they are fabulous looking cars. They're talking about having them on the market sometime in mid-2014.
So it's no longer going to be an electric vehicle.
No, it's going to be a gasoline-powered Corvette roaring
monster.
Yeah, you know, the Fisker had, they had sound generators to make them sound like a car, mm-hmm. which I thought was cool. But they're going to replace those with quad tailpipes, they said.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love these cars. A lot of people have probably seen, maybe on TMZ or one of those types of websites, Justin Bieber had the chrome one, which was really cool looking. But can you imagine driving behind him in traffic? Or like passing him if y'all are going opposite ways. Think of the reflection of the sun in your eyes or even just your headlights.
Just the few times that happens in somebody's side view mirror or their chrome bumper or their back glass of a truck that's flat.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't cause more wrecks. So that'll be exciting, the Fisker Karma coming back.
It's darn exciting. Yeah, it's if you haven't seen one, go online and take a look at the car because it is a great-looking car.
And what will it be called?
It's going to be called...
Is it the Destino?
The Destino, yes. Or the Destino. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Yeah.
That sounds more like it.
Absolutely cool.
Let's talk a little bit about trucks because we are in Texas after all.
We are, and we're the largest truck market in the country, Texas is. And the big three, Chevrolet, Ram, and Ford, constantly compete with one another for the best truck, the biggest truck, the strongest truck. And they all compete also from a financial standpoint with rebates. And right now, you know, General Motors, the 2014 Chevrolet and GMC pickup, first restyle of that truck in 7 years, they are really betting the whole boat on this truck making it big. And Texas is where it'll make it big the most because we're the biggest truck market. Right now, the dealers aren't too happy, though, because they're fighting at a disadvantage because Ford and Ram have both got bigger rebates on their 14 models than Chevrolet does. And if you looked at it from a percentage standpoint, the Ford truck is the rebates have gone up 27% from last year. The Chevrolet truck, they've gone down 32% from last year. Of course, last year was an old body style. This is a new body style. But the dealers are saying they don't care. People still shop those three against one another. And when they look at the price, the Ford is about $3,000 less than the Chevrolet right now. And that's a big, big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, there's a GM commercial on right now where they say that the GM truck is quieter than other trucks. And it says by other trucks, I mean Ford and Dodge Ram.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really sort of an interesting thing because they don't mention Toyota because I'm not sure it's quieter than the Toyota.
Oh.
But they do mention the Ford and the Ram because they directly want to compete with those guys. That's who they're after.
Well, and a lot of people are loyal to just American brands.
They are. And you know what? That new Chevrolet truck is a great truck. The new Ford truck is a great truck. And the new Ram is a great truck. They're all great trucks, which is a big change if you go back 10 years ago. They weren't that great, but now they are.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know about, now I'm sure truck drivers, they're primarily interested in towing capacity as well as the ride and drive. But I get into these cool little things. You know, I'm a cup holder person and the convenience on the inside, but on the exterior, because previously Ford was the first one that came up with something interesting to get into the bed of the truck. They had this extra little stick that would stick into a hole and then you could help get yourself up into the truck.
A stepping stick.
Sort of. It's hard for me to describe over the radio.
Where would you store that?
Oh, it slid right into this little place in the truck bed. But Chevy has come out with, and I don't know why it took all these years for this to happen because it just made complete sense. They have a little step within the bumper. Just they've got a little cubby that they've cut out of the bumper. You can put your foot in there. And then there's just a little place to put your hand up in the top of the bed. And you hold on and pull yourself up in there.
Great.
And you don't have to fold anything out or put anything away. And it works. It's really, really genius. We saw that at the State Fair because they had those new trucks on display there.
And the viscose open tailgate, so you can open it, but you don't have to hold it and support it on its way down. It
opens slowly.
Very cool.
Nice.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It doesn't come flying down and hit you in the head or the kneecap.
Well, I don't think it hits you in the head. You'd have to be like under.
Yeah. But if you were somehow, like if you fell or something.
True.
It could happen.
Okay.
If only there was a place you could go and you could drive the Ford and the Chevy and the Ram trucks, like one right after another.
I'm thinking Autoflex might be a really, really good place to do that because we'll set them side by side for you. And we really don't care what you get as long as it's right for you.
And let me tell you something. When it comes to these rebates, sometimes those don't even really matter when it comes to doing the lease, because what you're looking at is the future value of the truck as well as the entry value of the truck. So we can compare all of those brands for you, and we can throw the Toyota in as well. And then you can decide if one, you know, they could all come in pretty close to the same price, or if one is $20 or $40 more than the other, you could decide right then, is this really worth an extra? So you drive them all, you find out the cost on all of them, and then you can make your decision on which one is the best value for you.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's worth $40 extra a month.
Well, and here's the other thing. Sometimes you have to figure out whether it'll go in your garage or not.
There's that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's a real consideration because newer homes have shorter garages.
And none of these crew cabs are going to fit in your garage.
If you got a new house, maybe not. Yeah.
Oh, that is good to know. Yeah. So you can take it to your house and pull in the driveway or pull in the garage and see if it fits. Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. Measure your garage before you go to Autoflex and test drive your cars. Good thinking. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Tony, no last name, and me, Sybil. We always just call him Tony.
He's
so
Tony.
I was just thinking, he's Tony, no last name. Tony No Name is what we can call you on
Tony
this show.
Tony No Name. sounds like a character from Goodfellas.
Yeah,
actually,
like a mobster.
His first name is Toe, and his last name is Knee, so you just weren't aware.
Waka, waka.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Got lots of Autoflex Leasing fan texts coming in, 43733. You could also call Autoflex Leasing. They're open today. Ask them about Save Money Monday, and they'll give you all the details. But real quickly, what is that, David?
817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. The Save Money Monday cars are all posted with our pre-owned cars under specials, and you'll be able to see them there.
Mm-hmm. Some of the fan texts coming in, this is a question that I've heard before, and I think it's good that we answer it. Does Autoflex lease or sell cars, and do you have trucks too?
We do, in fact. We lease and sell cars, and we have trucks too. There you go.
We do it all.
Okay, so we lease new cars, and we lease new trucks, and we also sell pre-owned cars and pre-owned trucks, and we also have a flex buy, what we call a flex buy, which is our product that allows you, it's like a used car lease, except you own the car at the same time. So it has a residual, the payment is a lot less, so you save money because it's pre-owned, and then you save money again because it's structured like a lease. And if you want to buy it at the end, it doesn't cost you any sales tax.
You can give it back
pay the
if
residual,
you want to.
And you can walk away. It's a guaranteed residual. So it's the flex buy.
That's right. Got a quick letter I want to read from an Autoflex Leasing client named Terry Cottle. And Terry says, Russell Kinney was great. He really made us feel at ease and informed us during the leasing process. I'll definitely be a three-peat customer. This was my second lease with Autoflex. And I'll recommend to my friends and family. Thank you, Terry.
Terry's a really good guy. You know, I think it's important when you are shopping to beware of certain things. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're on the market for a car, you should never do certain things. Number one, if you're buying a car and you're on the phone with someone talking about it, or if you're buying a car and you're online, if they ask you for a deposit or money before you've seen the car, driven the car and all that, run. They're doing that just to get your money so you can't go somewhere else. They're limiting your ability to choose when you do. So never, ever give someone a deposit, either online or send them one if they request it over the phone or whatever, until you make sure, number one, the car is a good car, you've driven it, you understand it. Don't make sure you've demoed the car before you give anybody a dime for any reason. That's one of the tricks of the trade. People will try to get you to send the money, and that locks you in.
You need to see that brick-and-mortar store, and if it's an individual, then you need to send an inspector to look at that car. Friend of mine was almost duped just like this, and I did the research and found that the IP address, was out of Grand Prairie. The guy said he was in California. It was just the biggest nonsense story. And she was buying it hook, line, and sinker. And I was, said, stop what you're doing.
And did he ask her for money?
Of course.
Yeah, they
you
always ask you for money.
You wire this money into this third-party account. And then, oh, and I'll ship you the car. And if you don't like it, we'll just take it back. Sure.
Once-
ship it to you from California. Anyway, just beware. It's better to do business if you can with a place that you trust and that you already know of. But at the very least, if the car is across town, if you're buying on eBay or whatever, spend that money. Hire somebody like PDA or any of these independent inspectors to go out and look at that car, take pictures, and send it to you to make sure the car actually exists.
Another great Autoflex leasing fan text. If I'm interested in buying a car or truck, am I able to have a mechanic I know and trust check out the vehicle before I buy it? Absolutely. And if someone won't let you do that, don't buy their vehicle.
It's not worth it.
No. I mean, we have every vehicle that we have not been able to see ourselves, we have them all inspected by a third-party service before we get that vehicle for one of our customers, because we don't want to give someone a car that's not a great car.
Which happened recently.
It did happen recently. We actually delivered a car to one of our customers and found out about a week later that the car had been involved in a serious accident. And the Carfax was clean.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the car looked clean, too. But when we found out.
It was a used 2012.
Right.
And it was a one-year-old car.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, how did you find out? Can I ask that?
Took it in to have a couple of things inspected and serviced. And they told us, because they had a different database access to it. Anyway, they told us that it had been in a serious accident. So, of course, we immediately called our customer and said, we have to take you out of this car. We're so sorry. And they said, what do you mean? Well, it's been in an accident, and we're going to find another car for you.
Which
and
we did.
This is a customer, and it's a SOMS customer. He's in our Arlington office, and this fellow has family, has leased cars from a SOM for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he said, I promise you we didn't know. He goes, obviously you didn't know, and I'm totally surprised that you're calling to tell me this and that you're doing this. And he said, well, you know, we don't want you to be unhappy. So then we went through our database to find a customer with a similar car. We started calling everybody.
And we found one.
And we found another customer that would like to trade.
Mm-hmm.
And this car worked for them. And everything's worked out beautifully, so we've replaced their car, and this other customer is getting a new car. And
in fact, even as we speak, their new car is headed toward them, and their old car will be headed back to us this afternoon.
This just all happened in this last week, but it's one of those, oh my gosh, moments.
Yeah.
It can happen to anyone, including us, but of course we rectified it as soon as we discovered the problem.
But you need to make sure the company you're going to do business with has that kind of attitude about their customers, because if they don't, then you end up with a car that you don't want.
Right.
You know.
Good, honest business.
Right.
Well, return business. Most of our business is return and referral. The vast majority of it is. And the reason it is because we take care of our customers.
Right. Yeah, because really, what do you have to gain out of not informing them? You know, all you're going to have is somebody who's ticked off down the line once they realize it. And so it's better to just say, hey, we realized this and let us take care of it.
Exactly.
If you're wondering about someone to do business with also, one of the things you should do is check their online reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone will not have a completely pristine, because someone will be unhappy about something. But when you check their online reputations, you can really see what kind of business there are. Because if there are three or four or five things in different places that say this is not a good company, then you need to question that. If you have one issue and you know, in 500 good ones, then probably it's a good company. And it's unfortunate that one person was unhappy. But the majority of the people, the vast majority, are good to deal with. So you have to really, really go online. And you can go online and you can check on any automotive company out there. And that's the other thing. If you can't check on them, I would be very careful again.
Better Business Bureau, Dealer Rater, all kinds of rating sites. And, you know, ask your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Ask your friends who they've done business with. Look around and do try to do business with, you know, people that you hear good things about. And then you'll generally have the best experience.
If you're buying online, if you're buying on the phone, if you're buying where you're not sitting in front of who you're dealing with, be very careful that write down everything you're told. Write down everything about the payments. Write down everything about the term. Write down everything about all of the figures that you're dealing with, because that can change. And if it changes, you need to know about it instantly because, again, that's a huge red flag. If anything changes, if you're talking to them about a 36-month term and they tell you, well, hey, it's a longer term, but don't worry, we'll take you out early, that kind of thing, all of that is a huge red flag because the contract is a contract is a contract. If you lease a house and you lease it for 5 years, can you get out in three?
Oh.
Only if you pay the last 2 years. So write down everything when you're dealing with somebody remotely because you have to make sure that your understanding and their understanding is the same all the way to the signing.
Mm-hmm.
We have an Autoflex Leasing fan text. Is it possible to know what you would be approved for prior to going to Autoflex? Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have an online website. You can go there and fill out an application. The very most simplest, easiest, bestest way ever, I think, is just to give one of our offices a call, 817-972-234-1234, and we can do everything over the phone.
I'm the only one that gets to give the phone
numbers. I'm sorry, and I didn't do it as well as you did either. But no, our business, it started that way. When I started there in 95, it was just such a different experience to take a phone call from a customer and they tell you kind of what they want. Sometimes they had a payment on mind. Sometimes they had a style of car in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had every type of vehicle out there to select from. So then I got to help them narrow down the field to what would work best for their lifestyle and their budget. And we did most of it over the phone. Then I would typically have 2 to 4 vehicles selected for them to come in and see and test drive side by side. We'd go through all the numbers, and they'd choose the one that was best for them. But the people who, especially people who might be credit challenged, they like to kind of find out that they were going to be approved in advance.
Right.
Nobody likes rejection, and that kind of telling them no is rejection. So whether you are concerned about that or you just want to have all your ducks in a row and you want it to be a 30-minute process when you get there, you know what you want, you just want to sign the papers and get the heck out of there, or you want somebody to bring it to you, we bring the cars, we'll deliver it to you. Yes, we can do all of that over the phone and make this easy.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys believe in clairvoyance? Do
yes.
you think people can see the future or get feelings and maybe make decisions based on those feelings?
Pretty much, because I felt like you were going to ask that.
Did you? You're good.
Okay,
ESP.
So I think I can see a certain bus driver's future because there was a bus driver in Dundee, Scotland, who decided not to pick up a group of kids standing by the side of the road waiting on going to school because he is, in fact, a clairvoyant, he says. And he had the feeling that bad things might happen if he pulled over to stop for those children, so he just kept driving and left them on the side of the road.
Uh-oh.
Now, I'm not sure he had this premonition, but he was unemployed later that afternoon because his whole job is to pick the people up and take them to school, the little people. So when you don't pick up the little people, you don't have a job anymore.
Right.
Now, interestingly enough, he is being defended by clairvoyants all over who say that you must go with those feelings
mm-hmm.
and that something good or bad may have happened. So just to be sure, don't stop for the kids.
Well, I'm going to say I do trust my gut. And if that's how he felt, I do think he might have called somebody else to go get the kids.
Right. That's what I was going to say. He should have had a backup plan. I mean, you hear these stories all the time. People are scheduled to fly out the next morning and they have a nightmare that the plane crashes so they don't go.
Right.
And it turns out something did happen, maybe just technical difficulties. But we hear these stories all the time. And I think the guys quoted in the story is saying he'd rather be safe than sorry, which is true, but he should have called, like you said, called somebody.
Should have had a backup plan.
Or once you turn around, or once you pass the exit, you can turn around and come back, right?
Right. Quick Autoflex Leasing fan text. I love this. I'm 15, just recently starting to drive. Is it cheaper to pay cash for a car up front? Great, great question. It's almost not cheaper right now because interest rate is so low. But if you do pay for it up front, you don't have to worry about making any payments. And if you're 15, I'm guessing you're getting a fairly inexpensive car.
Mm-hmm. So give Autoflex a call, 817 or 972-234-1234. They can help you out with all the questions you might have. They're open today. Also, you can ask about Save Money Mondays. You can also go online to autoflex.com, and we will see you every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on The Fan. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. Thanks to Tony today. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.